Top 10 Alamance County restaurants. Number 10, Harrison's. Number 9, Blue Ribbon. Number 8, Barrister's. Number 7, Olive Garden. Sort of partial to that one myself. Number 6, La Casina. Number 5, Zach's. Yeah, you like that? Number 4, Cutting Board. You have to go eat salads before a week after you eat at Zach's. Number 3, La Fiesta. Number 2, The Village Grill. And the number 1 voted on Alamance County restaurant by the good friends of Integrity Church. You can tell we meat and taters people. Hey, anyway. Texas Roadhouse. There we go. All righty. Now, the winner was drawn from a hat to win the gift certificate to their favorite restaurant because she voted on the city. Is Glenda Farrell, is she here this morning? Olive Garden. There you go, Miss Glenda. Yes, ma'am, and thank you. Yeah, that's it. It is youth day, you know. You take the youth pastor with. It's a little plug there if you need to know. Guys, if you haven't signed up for this, the city, we'll be doing a takeoff on that here in the near future. It's a great tool, great social network for us here. Well, I want you to join with me, because it is my pleasure to introduce and recognize people who have made great strides in their life, great achievements, and we look forward to great and bright futures from these young men and women who have went through and graduated either high school or college, or went back and got their master's degrees, or went back to school later on in life. So if you would stand as we honor the graduates of 2011 of Integrity Church as they come down the floor. As I recognize these graduates from the class of 2011, if you hear your name called, of course, we'd like for you to come up and we'll say a little bit about you. And also, we'd like for the family to stand up. If you're here to represent one of your family members, we'd like for you to stand up and honor you in that way because you have supported them throughout their career and throughout their lives. Graduating from Eastern Guilford High School, attending Cape Fear, Wilmington, North Carolina, with a major in business and computer engineering, Michael Ball.
Michael Beard,
Second Service. Yes, sir. Graduating Eastern Guilford High School, attending Cape Fear, Wilmington, childhood education, Jessica Bowers.
Uh-huh.
You want me to do them all? Okay, that's what I was doing. That's right, that's what I want you to know. All right, graduated back in December 2010 from North Carolina A&T State University with a Master in Arts of Teaching and Physical Education. Been working part-time in high school at Burlington Christian Academy. And plan on going full-time next fall. Completed 21 years in service in the Army in 2007. Full-time student to get his BA in business and then straight to grad school. Mr. Wayne Kobler.
Wayne's been a valuable part of our church for many years, and we just appreciate him and his family and all that he represents.
I do have a little bit to say, brother, if it's all right. I didn't participate in my commencement because all that, I call it dog and pony show, is really not important to me, but I felt led to participate in this because I just feel like in my heart there's some of you out there that may be my age, and God is telling you to go back. And it may not make sense to go back and pursue a dream or a passion, but He will make a way. And it may look ridiculous, but if you know in your heart that it's Him that's leading you, He will make a way, and it's a joyous ride. So I encourage you to pursue your passions. You can still do it.
Wayne, what age is that?
47.
47. Yeah, let's hear it. He's the man. I love it. He's in my class.
Oh, that's good stuff right there. All right, our next graduate attended Appalachian State University, received a bachelor's degree in political science, seeking full-time employment in the local government or justice field. Mr. Clark Edward Dickens.
Hey, Clark. Parents Neil.
Brother.
Joy. Clark's an old buddy of mine, known him for a very long time. Fine young man, and he's going to make a wonderful addition in the law enforcement world, as his dad already is. So, you the man. Clark Dickens.
Okay, our next one, Burlington Christian Academy. Graduated from BCA, plans to attend Alamance Community College in the fall to seek a two-year degree in either graphic design or general business. Miss Lena Faith Dickens.
Big weekend for the Dickens family. Ricky and I had the privilege of sitting in on her senior project presentation, and that was a pretty good thing. She did an awesome job. So, Lena Dickens, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, graduating from homeschooled, and future plans are attend Liberty University and either enter into youth ministry and follow God's will. Miss Shannon Dixon.
Where's she? Second service.
You'll be in second service. Our next one is graduating from Alamance Community College in dental assisting, Kathy Heckman.
All right, Kathy, congratulations. Kathy balances a full life with her children and school and business and all that. God bless you. Thank you for the example you are.
Graduating in biology from the University of Kentucky, Mr. Aaron Kelly.
Yeah, Aaron is the son of Barry and Donna, one of our elders. Many of y'all know them, and they will be here in the second service as well.
All right, another Burlington Christian Academy graduate is going to attend NC State in the fall.
Woo! Y'all give Ricky some love. Come on, give the NC State grad some love.
There we go. Come on now.
Give him some love, man.
We'll pray for you.
Woo! Zoology major. Vet school after that, and hopes to become an exotic animal vet. Mr. Caitlin Dale Lamb.
Miss Caitlin.
Congratulations.
Another beautiful young lady who has been with us since, seems like almost infancy, Curtis. The lovely daughter of Curtis and Terry Lamb. And we love her and watched her grow up, and she's still growing, much taller than me. But say anything, but that's all right. We're proud of you, darling. Thank you for all that you are and all you represent, your family.
And we also set in on her senior project.
We did.
Absolutely. We did, and
that was cool.
She's taller than you, and speaks.
I answered her questions, and she
pretty good.
She posterized me with those questions.
She done pretty good. I tell you, I was impressed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Graduating from Eastern Alamance High School, is working and plans on pursuing his college career in the near future. Is Mr. DJ Martin?
All right, DJ will be here in the second
service. Second service. Graduating from UNC Wilmington with a bachelor in marine biology. She graduated with university honors, with honors in marine biology. She will be staying at UNCW for the graduate school. She did an internship with the Navy Marine Mammal Program for a semester. Try Better Biology Honor Society. Did I say that right?
Not for state graduates. We expect you to do it that way, but that's okay. You want me to help you with that?
Tri Beta. I never made it to that level when I was in college. Brittany Nicolaisen.
Brittany is the daughter of Scott and Leslie, and we love them to death. She's been around here a long time as well. And a real cool story about Brittany is, and I'm going to, can I do this? You don't even know what I'm going to say. So Brittany did not have to apply for grad school. They asked her to stay. And they said, you don't need to apply or anything. They made her an offer to stay and continue on and teacher assistant and that kind of thing to work in the grad school and with undergrad students. So we're proud of you, darling. Wonderful stuff.
You didn't realize they asked me to do that for reading at State either, did you? See?
I know that you were on the baseball team and all, and I figure you probably tutored some of the basketball players, too.
Yeah, so. I did.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. Washburn was one
Washburn
of them. Yeah, Charles Washburn was one of them. Yep, amphibious. Anyway. Our next graduate, the Elon School, and starts teaching guitar at Carolina Strings in June and attending ACC in the spring for the college transfer courses, Mr. James William Sanders.
So Will Sanders will be here in second service.
Graduating from Clover Garden Charter is going to ACC in the transfer program for nursing, Mr. Jacob Schwab.
And Jacob will be here in second service. Although Mom's here now, we'll let her stand. Stand, Debbie, so everybody can see you.
Go.
Yeah, Mom's here now. She'll be here in the second service, too.
All right, graduated from Granby High School, Norfolk, Virginia, with honors. Megan will be attending James Madison University in the fall and plans to major in pre-law, Miss Megan Spears.
That's Tim and Wendy Spears.
Tim and Wendy Spears.
Lives in Virginia Beach.
Graduating from Walter Williams High School on June 10th, he's been a member of the Burlington Police Explorers since he was 15 years old. He's going to attend Alamance Community College for Criminal Justice and then plans to go to the Police Academy. Mr. Edward Valdez. Yeah. Kay Smithy is his mother. Graduating from Southern High School, going into the Marine Corps and will pursue his degree in auto mechanics while in the Marine Corps. So he can continue to soup up his 68 GTO.
Ooh.
Mr. Matthew Dillon Wood.
I hear you, Mr. Dillon. You're the man.
Thank you, brother. Congratulations.
You got a 68 GTO?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
How old are you, man?
18.
He's an 18-year-old guy, got a 68 GTO. Is that just like, is there an injustice there or what? You're the man, Dillon. Look at all these folks out here. They love you, man. Here you go, bro. We love you, dude.
Appreciate it.
Graduating from UNCG is going to be a teacher, Miss Rita Mae Woody.
And Rita will be here in the second service.
Graduating from Burlington Christian Academy will attend Liberty University to pursue a career in the ministry, Mr. Christopher Webster Wren.
And all the family stand up. Yep. Shake his hand first.
Yeah.
There you go, my friend. There you go. Yeah, we watched him graduate yesterday, and that was a pretty cool day, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You're tired?
I am exhausted.
Yeah, okay. Here you go.
Thanks,
all right,
buddy.
You the man.
I know.
Yeah.
Chip off the old block, isn't he?
For those of you that don't know, when my first day here at Integrity teaching the youth, I become a punching bag by Chris. You know, he starts
literally
cracking on me.
Yeah.
So, needless to say, I punch back.
A lot harder than
I punch. Yeah, that's true. We have discipline issues down there, people. So, I smackdown.
I hear you, man.
We got in a budget for a wrestling ring for next year, too.
I didn't
want to tell
you
about that.
That's a good thing.
Graduating from Alamance Community College with an associate's degree in business administration, Mr. Jacob Wren.
And he'll be here second service, I hope. I hope. So.
And the last one we have, unless I've missed somebody, please tell me. Graduating from Western Alamance High School, will attend GTCC in the fall, Mr. Charles Ryan Ward. Where is Ryan at?
He's Ryan left. Somewhere there.
There Come we go. Ryan.
You saw Ryan and heard Ryan this morning with a band.
Yep.
Shake that man's hand right there.
Thank you, dude.
Yeah, man. Give them a standing ovation one more time for the graduates here, 2011.
And Ricky, in appreciation of you and all your work with these students, we don't have anything for you. Seriously, we have something on order. Isn't that what they all say, right? Something that will be here on Father's Day. So y'all need to be here for Father's Day to see what we're going to give Ricky for all that. So that's going to be a cool thing. That'll be in 2 weeks. We want you to make sure. And let's get ready to look at God's Word as we talk to everybody today, but maybe with a little bit of a slant specifically toward our graduates, toward our students who... And I always love Graduate Sunday because that's when Graduate Sunday humbles you, because all the folks that come in after the graduation thing, they come in, they don't go here, they leave. You know, God keeps you humble that way. But anyway, that's okay. That's all right. And so we are so glad you're here today. I'll tell you the story about an elderly man who was in a hospital with his wife of 55 years. She was sitting in his bedside. He said, "Is that you, Ethel? You're at my side again." She said, "Yes, dear, it's me." He softly said to her, "Remember years ago when I was in the Veterans Hospital? You were with me then. You were with me when we lost everything in a fire. And Ethel, when we were poor, you stuck with me then too." She said, "Yes." And he sighed then. And he said, "I tell you, Ethel, you are some kind of bad luck." Well, we're going to talk today what it means to live a life of loyalty. To live a life of loyalty.
Thank you, Brian.
We've been mentioning in the few weeks prior to this... about how Jesus in John chapter 21 got his disciples moving forward in a life of action. And we talked a few weeks ago about the fact that God will get our attention. He will do what it takes to get our attention. And sometimes those are good things, sometimes those are not so pleasant things. Then secondly, there's the issue of God calling us to abandon, living a life without constraints, or a life with enthusiasm, a life that is going to move you forward toward building the kingdom of God. And finally, a few weeks ago, we looked at what it meant to live what we call the life of agreement. And we looked at the issue of conflict resolution. And we looked at the issue of what it means for us to really know how to get along with others and how to resolve conflict in a healthy manner, in a way that will be quick and that will be decisive, and in a way that will be productive and will build relationships. Well, today we're going to talk about what it means to live a life of allegiance, moving forward, a life of loyalty, because God ultimately wants you to live a life of allegiance. Graduates, God wants you to live a life of allegiance. You're kind of going into a new chapter. We're turning the page for you at this particular point in time, whether you're 47 years old, right, or whether you're 18 years old. This is a new chapter coming up for you in your life. And so God wants us to fully understand what it means to live a life of allegiance to Him. And to get some context, I want us to go back a little bit to what we read about this guy named Peter, because the focal part of the story today, or the focal person in the story other than Jesus, is Peter. And so if you got your Bibles, it's on your outline, but if you want to follow along, start out in John 18 with me, then go over to 21. And before I do that, I just want to say two thanks. I said it last week when I was here. But thanks so much for all the love you guys showed my family this past week, with the death of my grandmother a couple weeks ago and then the death of my brother this past week. We are honored to have his family with us today, and I hope that you'll get a chance to meet them. That's a pretty cool thing. So as we go back and look at what caused Peter to get into this position, let's look at that passage in Matthew 18. "Meanwhile, as Simon Peter was standing by the fire, they asked him again, 'You're not one of his disciples, are you?' He denied, saying, 'No, I am not.' But one of the household slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, 'Didn't I see you out there in the olive grove with Jesus?' Again, Peter denied it, and immediately a rooster crowed." That was a watershed moment in Peter's life. Jesus had told him, "Peter, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me 3 times. Peter, as we often do in our own overconfident mannerisms, said, "No, I will never do that, Lord. That's something that will never happen." And before you know it, boom, the rooster crowed. Peter had denied him three times. Peter was distraught. And so we picked up what happened after the crucifixion, the resurrection. Peter didn't have too many opportunities to make amends with Jesus, but now he had one. They had seen him as he was out in the boat, and they didn't know who he was. And someone, we think it was John himself, said, "Look, it's the Lord." And so Peter jumps out. He swims to shore ahead of the boat. He gets there. Jesus had told him, "Guys, why don't you throw your nets out on the right side, see what happens." And they caught such a huge, huge, just a huge catch of fish. And so the point is that at this point, Jesus was opening up for Peter an opportunity for him and Peter to become reconciled and to be restored. The relationship was going to be restored. Jesus allowed for that in this moment. And we're going to look at that process of restoration this morning. Because one of the things about leading a life of allegiance is that there has to be restoration in our relationships. There has to be restoration. You know, one of the things that we can talk about, whether you're a graduate or whether you're somebody who's been out of school forever, right? One of the things that we always continue learning about in life is relationships, right? We never close the book on that one. We never ever, thank you, Curtis, I was looking for that. We never ever get to the point where we can know it all, do we? We just simply have to figure out how, boy, this looks like my house sometimes, I'm telling you. You open, leave stuff open and that kind of thing. But anyway, people leave stuff. You know, I get up in the morning, my son's been up. I'm an early to bed kind of person, and, you know, nothing ever gets put up because he's, you know, eating his midnight snacks and everything. So what is restoration? What is restoration? Let's look at it today, because in this moment, Jesus allows for this to happen. So here's the first thing we need to understand. Allegiance can only come with restoration in our relationship with God, in a relationship with other people. But see, allegiance, really, when we think about allegiance, we think about what? What do you think about? The first thing that comes to your mind. Pledge allegiance to the flag, right? We're pledging our loyalty to what? Our nation, right? We also are called upon to pledge our loyalty toward other people. You see, somebody who recites the Pledge of Allegiance and says, you know, I'm going to have allegiance to the flag and to our country, but they don't have allegiance to other people, right, in their lives, I would say you probably don't really have allegiance to the flag or to the nation, right? Because we've got to have as a root in our relationships this thing called allegiance or loyalty. So what do we need to know about restoration? First of all, Jesus will always make himself available for restoration. When you have committed a sin against him, when you've done something that you might think, God, you'll never forgive me for that. I just been so bad. How can you love me? I cannot get to the point at which I can have this cool relationship with you. And many of us, many folks live that way today. They feel that there is something that has occurred in their lives, something that they have done that is too big for God to forgive. And that is the most wrong assumption that we can ever live with. There is nothing so great that God cannot forgive. And so he says, as we see the Bible, it says here in verses 4 and 5 in John 21, if you remember the story, just kind of going back to summarize this. And by the way, we are closing out our series on John today. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Well, Jesus was really setting them up. The questions that he was asking them was not really that important. What was really important was he was preparing the way for an encounter with the disciples, because he knew that they needed that. Jesus will always prepare the way for you and I to come to him with restoration. And I encourage you in your own relationships to always be available for people. Always be accessible. Be willing and able to talk to folks. You know, so often, and I know how it is, how often do we go over the course of a month, and maybe we're out in town or whatever, and we might see somebody that we might marginally know, and for some reason, or we know them maybe really well, and for some reason we kind of avoid them. You ever do that? Surely none of you all would ever do that, right? No, of course not. We kind of duck behind the aisle, you know, and here we find ourselves among the women's underwear, and we're like, oh my God, what am I doing here? I got to get, you know. just so that we can avoid the situation, right? And so that happens, but we need to make ourselves accessible as God himself makes him accessible for restoration. Here's the second thing. Jesus will go to any length to restore that relationship with you. He will go to any length. He called out, "Fellas, have you caught any fish?" No. Then he said, "Throw your net out on the right side of the boat and you'll get some." And they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Now, God chose to use a way that would bless the disciples, that would give them something good to think about and something to go on. And that's what he used to set the stage. He will go to any length to restore you as long as we are willing. See, he's already willing. He's already willing. His willingness is never in question. God is always ready to restore you. He's always ready to forgive you. He's always ready to help you rebuild relationships horizontally with other individuals. We just have to play ball with him. We have to be ready. We have to go to him in faith. We have to go to him with an understanding, right, that what I've done is wrong and that I need this restoration with you, Lord. Here's the third thing. Jesus will always provide a safe place for restoration. He'll always provide a safe place. The more I live, I guess, the more I'm realizing that the whole idea of a safe place is so critically important in every aspect of life. We have to work every day hard to make our homes, to make our workplaces, to make our churches, etc., safe places. Now, what do I mean by safe places? Safe places are those that are characterized by vulnerability and authenticity. A safe place is a place where I can go and be who I am. It's a place where I'm willing to say things like, I'm willing and able to admit my mistakes and my weaknesses, while at the same time being willing to acknowledge my strengths, right? It's also a place where I can be, and often I call it a place, but it's not about the physical structure. It's about the people that are there, right? It's the place is made up of the people, not the structure, right? And so it's a place where I can say I'm sorry and I can make amends without feeling like anybody's going to throw retribution at me. It's a place where I can ask for help when I need it. Safe place is your home, parents. Are you creating a safe place in your home, in the workplace? Are you working toward making wherever you work? Don't tell me you like your job and so therefore you don't have any responsibility toward it. They're paying you, so therefore you have lots of responsibility toward that. Are you doing what you can do to make it a safe place? You've got to make it a safe place. We want our church to be a safe place. We want every aspect of our lives to have a safe place. And so Jesus will always provide that safe place for restoration. Now here the context was with the disciples, sitting with the disciples. The actual physical place was along the Sea of Galilee, where the guys had gone fishing because they didn't know what else to do. So in verses 12 through 13, "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples, though, dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. You see, Jesus will always create a safe place for you. You know, but those are some general points about restoration. But how does it happen? How does it really happen? How does restoration really work? And how does it look in our lives? Well, today would be a good day to hear from our student pastor on that. So Ricky Turner is going to come up and share with us a little bit about that whole idea of the process of restitution. Once again, give Ricky another big welcome, would you?
But I believe you forgot that this was Youth Day, really. I mean, all the trash up here and the doors open. This is Youth Day, by the way.
Oh, I get it. Sorry, man.
Process of restoration. Once Jesus makes himself available, he always makes himself available to you and gives you that safe place, how do we restore ourselves back to him? How do we get back to the part that we once were, what once was? Basically, restoration requires us to face the challenge that God gives us. To face the challenge that Jesus gives us. John 21 and 15 says, "After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' Peter replied, 'you know I love you.' then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Ever notice how God will do what it takes to get our attention? He'll do what it takes to get us to face the challenges that come before us. He allows things to go on in our lives that in which the primary purpose is to challenge us. And I relate this, he's talking about hitting the ball, hitting it out of the park, and it's like the kids on our little ball team a lot of times, we'll tell them. You ever seen them, you know, little Johnny, get down and get ready. Get ready for the ball, and they're sitting there, they're playing in the sand, or they're turning around, or, you know, they're doing some other kind of things. What always happens when you tell a kid to get down and ready, what happens on the next pitch? 90% of the time the ball is hit to them. And what happens? Whew. Mom and daddy jumps up. You should have been ready. We told you should have been ready. You need to get down and ready. What happens on the next pitch? They're like this, right? They ready. That's the way it works in our lives. Sometimes we're not ready for the challenge. And sometimes the challenge just hits us right in the face and goes by us. But after it hits us, we're ready. And we're ready for a while. But as the days go on and the process goes, the habit falls to the wayside. It's like that little kid on third base that just missed that ball. He's ready for the next four or five pitches. And then the next inning, he's back what? Playing in the sand. Mom and daddy saying, get your head up, watch the ball. It's a process, and it's the same thing that relates to us in life. Because when we face the challenges, when the youth, when you graduated from school, that challenge that you have faced is now coming to an end. But a new set of challenges are coming. A new set of restoration process will begin. Because why? Because your focus is off of what it was here, and it's turned into a whole different focus, a whole different lifestyle. Okay? Life as you know it from high school changes dramatically to college. Life from college changes dramatically to the world. It's not a simple process. It's not a simple gradual increase into the world or into the college life because it's just totally different. But what happens when you get into that process? The biggest thing is that we don't run from them. Let me tell you, when you get to that point and you face the challenge that Jesus gives you, and you need to restore yourself back to Him and to that challenge, the worst thing you can do is tuck your head and run. Guess what? I got news for everybody in here, especially for the youth and the graduates. You're going to fail. Formula 409. You know why it's 409? Because they failed 408 times. But what you do during that times that you fail creates who you are, creates your personality, creates your livelihood, creates who you are to other people and how you represent yourself to other people and how you represent yourself to your God. But it does another thing. Restoration requires us to allow repetition to help us develop the new habits. In John 21:16, Jesus repeated the question again. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. On average, you have to do something 21 times to be a habit. 21 times to be a habit. With Father's Day coming up, I'm going to save you guys just for a minute. That means, wives, women, it takes 21 times for you to tell him to take the trash out before he understands he's got to take the trash out. 21 times. It don't happen in 2 days. 21 times. Again, you relate it back to when we was coaching, you coach a little kid in ball. What do when you start them off at 4 years old? You tell them how to throw. You tell them how to turn a double play. You tell them how to throw behind a runner. You tell them how to tackle in a football. Can they do those things? Can they do those things? The first time you tell them, can you do it? No. But repetition. Restoration requires repetition. You've got to keep doing something over and over, and finally, it's going to click. Finally, it's going to come to the point to where it's habit and you know what you've got to do. But it's not enough just to say repetition. If we look at what Jesus said, he said, feed my sheep. Again, he said, feed my sheep. And again, he said, feed my sheep. Repetition with proper communication. Noah, when he was young, was running through the hall with a knife. Okay? So we said, you know, you do that again, you're going to get a whooping. So he comes running through the hall again with a knife. So we give him a whooping. He comes in there, and this is one of the defining moments in my life. Okay? This is what goes back to when Jesus is talking to Peter, the difference between a forgettable moment and an unforgettable moment. Repetition with proper communication. He came in there and he sat down and I said, you know, you shouldn't do that. And he said, Daddy, why did I get a whooping? And it dawned on me that I disciplined my child, but I didn't tell him the reason for it. He didn't know. He thought he got disciplined because he was running. He didn't get disciplined because he was running. He got disciplined because he was carrying a knife. But I didn't communicate that. I didn't communicate, do you know why you was disciplined? Because you was carrying that knife. Oh, Daddy, okay, now I understand. You see, you can do things, you can discipline and you can do things, but if you don't communicate the reason why, say, you know, the old cliche, say what you mean. Say what you mean. And when you're talking to God, you got to say what you mean. Because God's going to tell you what He means. So how do we stay on track with this? How do we stay on track? 1 Timothy 4:7, do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Spend your time and energy in training yourself for spiritual fitness. Physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise is much more important, for it promises the reward in both this life and the next. First point is communion with God, personal worship. Personal worship. When you get off to a spot and you get away from your family or get away from your normalcies of life, the only thing you've got in a lot of situations is God. And your personal worship time with Him is of utmost importance. Your time to create an intimate relationship with God is. I mean, you look, it says spiritual exercise is more important than physical exercise. We all know how important physical exercise is. How much more important does that make spiritual exercise in our life? Personal, intimate relationship. Not a relationship. Not who is Jesus? He's God. He's Lord and Savior. No. Who is Jesus? He's my Lord and Savior. That is the difference in an intimate relationship with God, in your personal relationship. Connecting with God, intentional prayer. Praying each day. Pray without ceasing. Look, you're going to be praying that you pass the test. You're going to be praying you get your homework in on time. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about intentional prayer. Downtime with God. Downtime in your personal worship and your prayer time with God. Learning about God. Personal Bible study. You have to allow time for studying God's Word. You will have time, you will make time to study because you're having a test. But let me tell you, every day of your life is a test that you go through and challenges you face that only one textbook can get you through. It doesn't matter all this other things that go around. When you got your feet set on firm foundations, personal Bible study, personal prayer, and personal worship. The fourth thing is self-control in God, fasting and moderation. And I want you to write this down. If you've never read this book, Fasting for Spiritual Breakthrough by Elmer Towns, it's a very good. Do you know that there's different fasts in the Bible for different things? Fasting promotes self-control. It promotes a relationship with God that is unmatched by anything that science can say today. The greatest weight loss that you can do is to do a Daniel fast. No meats, no breads, no sweets. Yeah. Whew. But it's in there. It's in the Bible. It talks about that, and it talks about the moderation of things, too. Again, the last one is giving to God, your stewardship and life management. Now, we talk a lot about giving to God and being generous, and a lot of times when you hear that in the context of financial considerations. But I want to talk to you about your time that God gives you, because every minute of every day, God is given to you. And what you do with that time creates your stewardship towards Him and towards your relationship and towards your process towards restoration. You devote your time to personal worship, intentional prayer, Bible study, fasting, and stewardship over all these things. It comes down to one word. And this is one word that if you take away from here today, from one point that we talk about or I talk about, we talk about discipline. Because that's what it takes, is discipline. When you go to college, it takes discipline to go to class. It takes discipline to do your work. With God, it takes discipline. Remember what we said, 21 times before it comes a habit. Discipline yourself through that point in time. Let it become a part of your life, and let the restoration process begin, and let it start coming back to the healing when you face those challenges. Guys, this is your family. Graduates, this is your family. Any restoration process, any challenge you face, you can come to any one of us. This is a family. This is a family of God. And we're in this together. So when you get to those challenges and face them, be down and ready. Don't let the ball pass you by, because sometimes when it passes you by, you can't get it in time. Love each and every one of you. And remember God's grace and God's love for you wherever you're at, in whatever situation you're in, and whatever challenge that life faces you. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Ricky. You know, restoration also requires three more things that John lets us know. He wanted us to understand that Jesus was trying to get across to Peter and to us. The first of those is that restoration requires Jesus to validate the purity of our motive. You see, your motive is so critically important. You can do all the things that Ricky mentioned a few minutes ago. Take all the steps. We can do all that stuff. But, you know, if we're not doing it for the right motive, you know what? There's a big problem there. That's the you know, we as pastors, we obviously enjoy interacting with the folks that God's called us to lead. But, you know what? We have to look on the outside to understand your motives. We really, truly don't know what's in your heart. And at the same time, you don't know what's in ours. We trust that our actions will give us clarity with regard to what they are, and that your actions will give us clarity, and, you know, both ways. But you know what? God always examines the purity of our motive. In verse 16 that Ricky mentioned, where Jesus repeated that question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." And then we see that restoration requires a humble response. You see, without humility, we're not going to get anywhere in life. Without humility, we're not going to get anywhere in life. It's an understanding that life is not about me. It is about those that I can serve. It's about the others whose life I can make better. Let me ask you this. Do you approach your daily life with an attitude that says something like this? "One of my goals is to leave people better than how I found them." You ever thought about that? I believe that if we really approach life, approach every day in that regard, then you know what? Some good things are going to happen. And finally, restoration requires that, well, let me just look in verse 17. Let me real quickly go to 17. I like this. A third time, Jesus asked Peter, "Simon, do you love me?" Now notice what it says next in verse 17. Peter was, what's that word? Hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. Now, when Peter got to thinking about it, he probably recognized, you know, that it wasn't that Jesus so much asked the question, but that Jesus felt that the question had to be asked that hurt Peter. Does that make sense? It was the point that he felt that it had to be done that he asked the question. Well, finally, Jesus is going to always ask for a demonstration of our commitment. Our words are one thing. Our words are one thing. But words, hear me, words that are backed up by action, that's where the rubber really meets the road. And so the things, again, that Ricky was talking about this morning, how will you and I be able to demonstrate the commitment that we have? Because in verse 17, again, Jesus says, as he asked the question a third time, "Lord," and then Peter said, the same question he was asked. Peter said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." You know, I'm not really sure as to the absolute impact of this encounter that Peter had with Jesus. But you know what? If you look at Peter's life, you'll see a life that was vastly different after this encounter than it was before. He was a man who was transformed. He was the leader of the early church, a man who made sure that the movement of Jesus continued on and would build in the institution of the church. Well, as we kind of wind things down, our teen band's going to come up and they're going to get ready to lead us again as we before we leave today. But I want to give you some of, you know, you heard of Robert's rules of order, right? I'm going to give you some of Wren's rules of order, some things that I think could help with the practical demonstration. These are some things that I've tried to live out in my life, not always successful, but these are some of the practical, they're not on your outline, I just came up with them last night and this morning, right? And this is kind of for graduates, but it's for all of us because, you know, I think that everybody will probably find some recognition maybe in some of these. Here's the first thing. Embrace God's salvation, His offer of salvation, and live it out daily. Secondly, honor God's sanctity for relationships. Third, remember that marriage is huge. Choose the right spouse the first time. Your choice of dating partners and a spouse will literally make or break your life. Wait. Wait, wait. Next, remember that parenthood is not a hobby or a solution to a problem. It's a responsibility that, if not done well, can lead to huge problems. Wait until you're ready for it. Next, don't overestimate your maturity level. Be realistic about it, no matter the age. Next, work hard. Make it on your own. Next, ask for help, but not for someone to do it all for you. Don't procrastinate. Pick up after yourself. Shut the doors when we need to shut the doors. Put things back where you found them. Return what you borrow from others. Live within your means. Pay your bills and your debts on time. When you open something up, close it up when you're done with it and put it back. Take care of your stuff. If it's worth having, it's worth preserving. Stay in good physical shape. Of course, you got to get in good physical shape first. So do it. Sergeant Cobbler will help you with that. He'll meet you in the conference center where he's got a whole exercise torture room set up. When you have conflict, deal with it immediately. Finally, don't use anything that can get you addicted, physically or emotionally. It's kind of like Wren's rules of order, the things that I've tried to live my life by. Not always successful. But, you know, that's one thing I guess that I can pass on from a practical perspective to our graduates and also to the rest of us, because this is real life stuff. This is where we demonstrate the commitment to allegiance that we were talking about. Ricky mentioned the word discipline. Life is all about discipline. That is, if you want to be successful in life. No matter your personality type, no matter if you're ADD or ADHD, whatever the case might be, you have to maximize the discipline in your life. And so I want to encourage you to accept the challenge that Ricky and I have kind of placed there today, because it's all God's challenge. I mean, it's right there in John 21. It's not our stuff. It's His. And for our graduates, we want to encourage you to continue on the right foot and moving out and moving forward. Because life is all about moving forward toward building the kingdom of God. Ricky had mentioned earlier about the connection cards that you have. And if God's spoken to you in a particular way today, something, the decision perhaps that He wants you to make, then we want you to let us know about it on that card. We want you to turn it in. We have boxes in the back on either side of the door as you leave. Leave that card with us. Let us know of things we can pray with you about. Maybe you're here today and maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you're, some of the stuff we're talking about is like, I don't know if I got this connection that these guys were talking about today, this connection with God. You know, we encourage you to go after that connection. Let us know on that card. Check where it says, I'd like more information about how to become a Christian. Or if maybe God's challenged you in a specific way and you might want to check, I'm accepting God's challenge today. We'll pray for you. We'll do what we need to do. You let us know if you want to talk to one of us. Just grab us or let us know on that card you want to have a conversation. Because that's what we're here for. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about, this whole thing we call church. And the relationship that we have as a family together. So let's pray as we begin to wind down. God, thank you for these graduates. Thank you, God, for the way that you have blessed them and their families, the way that you bless others through them. God, thank you for the rest of our church family, those of us who look upon them today with differing emotions, perhaps great pride, perhaps great concern. But God, we know that you are the one who knows the right way. And God, so help us to lean more into you every day, to live out a life of allegiance, to understand your call, God, to attention and to action. God, your call to agreement in our relationship with others so that we can clear out all the barriers that would keep us from living a life of loyalty and devotion to you. So God, help us to live that way each and every day.
church. And I exhort thee. And I exhort thee. I exhort thee. In all and I exhort thee. I exhort thee. I exhort thee. In
being with us today. Remember to go out exalting the Lord. Can I have a big hand for these guys and gals who have done just an awesome job leading us in worship this morning. Thanks, Ricky, for an awesome work with our graduates, old and new. God bless. Have an incredible week. Don't forget to leave your connection cards along with your tithes and your offerings in the boxes in the back. Those from our